Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want you to grab your Bibles this morning and join me in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we'll be this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we are in the last week of a four-week series called Generous Living. Generous living. What we've said over the last 3 weeks leading into this week is that for us as believers, that God desires for us to be generous in a number of areas in our life. And we talked the first week about being generous with our testimony, that God, if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, has given you a story that needs to be told. You need to tell what God has done in your life through Jesus. And we want to encourage you to be generous in this community as you share with your neighbors and with your coworkers, with people that you go to school with people that you shop next to. We want you to be generous with your story of how Jesus has transformed your life. We talked the second week about being generous with our time. We mentioned that all of us have busy schedules. We all have things that we need to accomplish day in and day out, but God has given us two primary things that we should focus on, that we should schedule around, that we should prioritize around. The first is loving Him well, and the second is loving other people well. And so we talked the second week about loving God and loving others with our time. Last week, we talked about being generous with our talents. We said that God has given each one of us specific gifts and abilities, spiritual gifts to be used to build up the body of Christ. And if we don't use those gifts, the body of Christ is not going to be built up as well as it could and should be. And so we want to be generous with our talents. So our treasure, our time, our talents. I'm sorry, our testimony, our time, our talents. And then lastly, being generous with our treasure. And I've mentioned this to you before. It's always tricky when the pastor talks about money at church, right? You feel a bit uncomfortable. I feel a bit uncomfortable. Had a seminary professor say, when you're going to talk about money, bring somebody else in to do it. And yet, here's what I know, and here's what you know, that how we approach our money, our treasure, our possessions, says a lot about where we are spiritually. And for us, I want us as followers of Jesus to recognize that God has called us to be generous with our treasure, to be generous with our possessions, to use those as we can maximally for His kingdom to grow. And so as we look at our text this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to focus our time on verses 6 through 15. And I want to read that text for us, and then I want us to walk back through it this morning as we consider why we should be generous with our treasure. Let me give you the background real quick. At this point in time, the city of Corinth that is talked about in this letter is a very influential city. It's a very rich city. It was a trade route, and the people who lived there were focused a lot of time on what they could get. They were very materialistic, probably not much different than our culture today. They were very rich, probably not different from our culture today, and they were known to spend lavishly on themselves and to use what they had for their own benefit. And Paul is writing to these believers that are in this city that is marked by this, and he is encouraging them to give generously to support the work of God that's going on around the known world at that point. He wants them to give specifically in this situation to the church that was in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was experiencing incredible persecution at the hands of the Jewish people at that point in time, and these new believers were being persecuted. Many of them didn't have jobs. They couldn't provide for themselves, and Paul wanted this church to be supported, these believers to be supported, and so he challenged the Corinthian believers, who many of them were well off, well-to-do, had plenty of resources at their disposal, to be generous with those so that they could support the work of God that was going on in Jerusalem. And so Paul is writing this letter to them, and at this point in time, he is going to issue some challenges to them to give generously, sacrificially, for the work that's going on in Jerusalem. And in verse 6, he says this, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this first truth down, and it comes from verses 6 through 9 in our text this morning. It's this: we should be generous with our treasure because God transforms us as we give. God transforms us as we give. I want you to notice verse 6, this biblical principle that Paul writes here. It's one that is found throughout the Proverbs as well. But he says, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, if you take this out of the context of giving and just look at it in the context of farming, it makes sense. If you want to harvest a crop from 10 acres, how many acres should you plant? Some of y'all are thinking, I have no idea. I just go to the grocery store and get it, right? But if you're going to harvest out of 10 acres, you're going to have to plant seed in those 10 acres. If you want to harvest in 1 acre, you're going to plant seed in 1 acre. And that makes plenty of sense when you take it out of the context of giving and put it in the context of farming. We understand that, and yet Paul takes and he pushes this principle in the context of giving. And he says, for us, if we sow or give a little, we should expect a little bit of fruit, a little bit of harvest. If we sow or give generously, we should expect a generous harvest. Now, I want you to pause for just a second and think about that. Tommy touched on that earlier. Here's the problem with this verse if it's taken out of context. I've said to you over and over again, context is king. We have to recognize that verses are in passages of Scripture within a context, and so we have to understand what's going on, because here's what I've seen happen with this verse. A pastor will say, I want you to sow into my ministry, and God is going to bless you for having sown in my ministry. So if you'll send $100 in, I promise you, somewhere down the road, God's going to give you so much more than that. Now, when you look at the context in which this is written, the harvest is not a personal harvest that we reap for our own benefit. The harvest is what God reaps for His benefit. And so when you look at this, you realize that as we give, the truth is our perspective in our giving is always at play. Are we expecting God to use what we give and do something to increase His kingdom? Are we expecting for ourselves to give and for God to use that and to multiply that and to do with that far more than we could ever ask or imagine? When we give, that should be the attitude as we give. And here's what I've realized personally in my own life, that when I give and I give generously, I end up seeing God do more through what I give than if I didn't give generously. And that's the simple principle that Paul is outlining for us here. You look at verse 7, he says this, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, I want you to think about something for just a minute. I've used this illustration before. But imagine if I go home one day with flowers for my wife, and I walk in the door and I hand her those flowers, and she says, "Oh, honey, you shouldn't have." And I said, "Well, I mean, I kind of had to. I mean, you're expecting it, right? I mean, every once in a while, I kind of got to check the flower box. And I got to give those to you, and they die, and we have to go through it again. You know what I'm talking about." Now, imagine her response to that. We don't give out of duty because we have to. What Paul says here is that we give cheerfully. We give an expectation of God using what we give and multiplying it for His kingdom. And he says in the first part there, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Now you know, and I know, if you've grown up in church for long, if you've been around church, the idea of tithing, of giving 10%, was a command given to God's people in the Old Testament that out of their increase, that they were to give 10% of that off the top to the Lord. Interestingly, in the New Testament, never is a percentage of giving mentioned. It's never mentioned in the New Testament. There's no set standard of this is how much you should give. This is the law of what you should give. In fact, here Paul says you should determine in your heart how much to give. Now, let me tell you how this plays out in my life and our family's life as we approach the issue of giving. Knowing that we are no longer under a covenant of law, we are under a covenant of grace because of what Jesus has done for us. For us, we have looked at the realization that under the law, 10% was what you were supposed to give, what you were required to give. That was what God had set as the standard. But now, we have the opportunity of making a decision of how much we're going to give. And so for us, and I would argue this should be the case for all of us who are followers of Jesus, because of what Christ has done for us. When we begin to understand and recognize how much grace God has given to us in salvation through Jesus, the law, the 10% that was required to be given, I think in our life personally as a family and for us as believers, that should serve as kind of the bottom floor for our giving. That we should look at that and say, yes, that's the bottom, but because of the grace I've been given in Christ, because of what God has done for me in Christ, I want to not just give what's required, I want to give above and beyond that. Now, here's what I know, and here's what you know. It's hard to do that if you're doing it in your own strength and power. But as you look at the text this morning, I want you to notice what he says here in verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. If you notice what follows verse 7 and the fact that Paul says each one should give as he's decided in his heart, and then he uses a couple of negative things here, not reluctantly, not giving and saying, I just don't know that I really want to do that or not, nor under compulsion, meaning that no one should strong-arm you into giving what you've not decided in your heart before the Lord to give. Here's one of the things that you'll notice about this capital campaign that we're about to walk through. And for me, a personal philosophy of giving within the church. I never in any way want to pressure anyone to give here. I don't want to pressure anyone. I don't want to strong arm anyone. I don't want to beat anyone over the head with the Bible and say, you should give. Because that's not the type of giving the Lord blesses. The Lord blesses giving that's done not under compulsion, but generously and freely and cheerfully. That word cheerfully is really interesting. It's the word for hilarious. I mean, have you ever given to something and it was just fun and funny? One of the things that we've done before is, and I'm not really sure exactly why we've done it, but we typically on Christmas Eve go eat at the Waffle House. In the name of Jesus, right? Nothing better than the Waffle House, I'm telling you. But we'll go eat at the Waffle House and we'll leave a tip way beyond anything close to what we should leave. I mean, $50 or $100 in tip, and walk out and sit in the car and watch and just laugh when the waitress looks at it and then she looks for you. That's the type of giving that the Lord's talking about here in this passage. Hilarious giving. Excited, fun, to write the check and drop it in the offering plate with a smile on your face, not, I guess I gotta give. And then if you notice what he says in verse 8, that God is able to make all grace abound to you. Listen, here's what I've realized and what many have realized, what Tommy talked about this morning, that as we give and as we give generously and as we give faithfully, that God gives us exactly what we need to keep doing that. That God gives us exactly what we need to keep doing that. That God gives us the grace. That God gives us the contentment to be content in what we have so that we're able to give more. See, what's happened in my life, what's happened in many of your lives is that God has transformed you as you give. I want you to notice as we keep going in the text this morning, beginning in verse 10, here's the second truth I want you to see. We should be generous with our treasure because God has blessed us that we might be a blessing. God has blessed us that we might be a blessing. Verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, he who supplies the seed is God. God is the one who gives to us what we need to be able to give. One of the first principles that for us as believers we must understand is that God owns absolutely everything. There is nothing that you have, nothing that you possess, nothing that you will ever earn in your lifetime that God has not put his stamp, mine, on it. Everything we have ultimately is the Lord's. Everything that he's given to us is his. And he simply entrusted it to us to be used in the best way, the most efficient way to impact his kingdom. And so he who supplies seed to the sower, and notice, bread for food, which is simply talking about God meeting our daily needs, he will supply and multiply your seed, listen, for sowing. Now pause for a second and realize what Paul's just said here. The purpose that God gives us for giving us more, of increasing what we have, is so that we would be generous with what we have. If I could use the illustration this way, that for us, if we're being stewards the way God intends for us to be, that we stand here with open hand and God puts in our hand what he wants for us to have. And if we're not careful, we'll close that hand and say, that's mine. But what he's talking about here is that we live in open-handed obedience to him. So that God is able to put in, but God is also able to take out. God is able to put in, and God's able to take it out. God's able to use it for his glory, for his kingdom. Notice verse 11, he says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Tommy was talking about getting a raise. And I had this conversation with a couple of people earlier. You know, what's interesting is that, and I've seen this in our life, I've seen this in other people's lives, it seems like you would think that if you just made X amount of dollars, like you'd have no more problems after that, right? If I could just hit this number, I wouldn't have any issues. I wouldn't have any problems. And then you hit that number and you realize, you know, if I could just bump it up just a little bit above that and hit that, everything would be good. Here's the thing that naturally happens for all of us. If we're not careful and if we don't put a governor on it in our lives, we'll allow our expenses, our living, to match our income. And when we get an increase, we'll increase our lifestyle up to that increase. And yet what we see in the text this morning is that Paul says for all of us that as God enriches us, certainly we have the ability to enjoy God's blessings in our life, but if we're not careful, we'll think that God's enriched us primarily for us, for our wants, for our benefit. But ultimately, Paul says here that God enriches us in every way so that we would be generous in every way. It's interesting when you look at what Paul says there, that as God puts more in our hand, if we're not careful, we'll grasp a whole lot more tightly than we have before. And yet God puts more in our hand because he wants to take out and use it for his kingdom. You see, here's what we have to realize and what we have to understand is that ultimately, if we spend our lives as believers focused on building our own kingdom, then we'll miss what God wants to do in and through our lives. See, we live in a culture that has this motto: grab all you can all you grab, and sit on your can. That's the motto oftentimes in our culture. Grab all you can all you grab, and sit on your can. And yet John Wesley said this, said, for the Christian, that we should make as much as we can, we should save as much as we can, and we should give as much as we can. You see, for every single one of us who claim the name of Christ, who call ourselves believers, we have the great privilege and the great opportunity to be stewards of the resources that God has entrusted to us and to use those in such a way that we grow His kingdom. See, it's the reason that I say oftentimes when we take up the offering, God, help us to give with cheerful and generous hearts and use what we give and multiply it in only ways that you can. You see, if you don't forget, it was Jesus who was able to take a happy meal and feed 5,000 plus people with it. God's able to take what we give and He's able to multiply it and use it for His kingdom, for His glory. It says in verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. Verse 13 through 15, here's the third truth that we see in the text this morning. We should be generous with our treasure because God is glorified as we give. Verse 13, by their approval of this service, that's the church in Jerusalem, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for the others. What he says there is just, for me, the linchpin in this entire discussion about giving in the life of the believer. It's the realization that we give not out of duty, but out of response for what God has given us in Jesus. If you think about it, everything in the Christian life is a response to what God has initiated. We pray as a response to the fact that God has revealed Himself to us. We give as a response to God having given us His Son, Jesus. And that's what he's talking about here. For these believers, he's saying, listen, what's going to happen as you give, and you give generously, and you give cheerfully, those who are recipients of this are going to stand up and say, listen, they loved Jesus so much. They understood the grace that they had been shown in salvation through Christ, that their natural response was to give in the same way that they have received. See, the truth is, for every single one of us, as we look at giving in general, and as we look at giving specifically moving ahead and this capital campaign to build a building, the realization for every single one of us is that we give not because ultimately this is going to benefit us. We give because we want to see people in this community come to faith in Jesus Christ. We give because we want to see the kids that are in the back and the kids that are in this community grow up and live a life that's glorifying to Jesus. We give as a response to the great gift that we've received as believers. You may be here this morning, and the truth is, this whole thing has been an opportunity for you to hear of the gift that God has given in His Son, Jesus. And you've never responded to that, and maybe today that needs to be your response. Maybe here this morning, and for you, your response as a follower of Jesus is that you need to ask that question, am I living in open-handed obedience, allowing the Lord to put into my hand what He wants to put in and to take out what He wants to take out, to be generous in my giving. If you're here this morning and you're not a partner with us here at North River Church, or you're not a regular attender, I want you to know that we have absolutely no expectation of you to give to North River Church. But But listen to me, if you are a partner here, if you're a member here, if you're a regular attender here, we want you to give, not because we need the money, not because God needs the money. I heard a pastor say this one time. I shared it with one of the life groups when I went and visited and talked with them about the building. Heard a pastor say one time that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and if he needs to sell a few to make something happen, he can. God doesn't need our money. But God invites us to use what he's given to expand his kingdom. And we have the privilege of partnering with him to do that. I want to ask the band if they'll come back up, and we'll transition and give you an opportunity just to respond to the Lord in your hearts this morning and to consider what it means for you to be generous with your treasure. And as we sing, we'll take an opportunity as immediately following that just to share with you a little bit of where we are in this process as we continue to walk forward. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the realization that everything that we have is yours. Father, we thank you for the realization that you have given to us more than we could ever repay. And God, you don't ask us to repay, but you invite us to partner with you in what you're doing as we give. God, help us to give generously. Help us to give cheerfully. Father, help us to give in expectation. Lord, expecting you to transform us as we give and to expand your kingdom as we give. We thank you for that. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand and you sing.